Verse 15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was grieved in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, that I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. These great beasts which are four kings that shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then our desire to know the truth concerning the four beasts, which was diverse from all of them, exceedingly terrible, whose teeth were of iron and its nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. And concerning the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom shall ten kings arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the former, and he shall put down three kings, and he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and half time. But the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance was changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So here we are having the interpretation, Daniel chapter 7. Verses 15 through 28. Now, Daniel wants to know, and we all want to know. We want to know exactly what God is revealing to us through this vision that Daniel received. Notice he says in 17, these kingdoms which are four kings. Point one on your study guide, your handout that I gave you. The use of kings and kingdoms in apocalyptic speech. Now, for those of you who haven't been here, about three or four weeks ago, we discussed prophetic or apocalyptic speech, figurative speech in the Bible. And we pointed out in figurative speech, words go beyond the ordinary. Words have meaning. These are words that paint a picture that God is revealing a truth unto us. So the best way to understand is you see a picture, you ask yourself, what's the truth? Now here he says the four beasts are four kings. But I want you to look at verse 23, where he says, the fourth beast shall be a fourth what? Kingdom. So in apocalyptic speech, kings and kingdoms can be interchangeable in the figurative speech. Well, how am I supposed to know? Examine the text. Look at what the text is telling you. So in verse 17, four kings arise. These are the four kingdoms which were discussed last week of the four beasts. Remember, we had a lion, we had a bear, we had a leopard, and we had an undescribable beast. The lion was Babylon. The bear one side is raised above the other, was Medo-Persia, had three ribs in its mouth, voracious in its eating, describes Persia well. The fourth was a leopard who did not have the eagle's wings that the lion had upon his back, but he had bird's wings. Glorious animal, but not as glorious. Fast animal, but not as fast. And then we had the undescribable beast. Now, so four kings are four kingdoms, and we know this from the text. Now, as we get into verse 18, notice he says, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Now, we'll discuss this a little bit later, but what's being said here now, no matter what the situation is in the people of God, God is going to protect his people. Also, there is an allusion here, too, that God has remembered his Davidic covenant. If you remember, one of the reasons why Daniel was written was to show that God had not violated the Davidic covenant. And we looked at Psalm 89 to show what God was saying there. Now, so four kings shall arise, but don't worry about it. The saints shall receive the kingdom. And we will discuss a little bit of that as we get on further on in the class. In verses 19 and following, he describes the undescribable beast. It's very clear it's Rome. It's Rome for all the reasons that we gave last week. Rome was vindictive. Rome was a powerful country who took over countries and devoured all the resources that it could out of a country. If there was nothing in that country that would suit the purpose of Rome, then they would just wipe it out. They cared nothing for setting up things that would help them in the future. All they wanted to do was conquer, grab what valuable things they could, and then tear the country down. And that's what they did. So it's a very good description of Rome. 10 horns. Now we got point 3 on your study guide. The 10 horns of Daniel and the 7 heads of Revelation. Now, this is where we're going to get into a little bit of our study. We pointed out last week that the 10 horns are 10 kings of the fourth beast. We had Augustus, we had Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, the first 5 emperors. Then we had 3 in quick succession, Galba, Otho, and Vitellius. Then we had Vespasian, Titus. Those are the first 10 emperors. And then the 11th emperor would be Domitian. Now, if you're asking why I did not mention Julius Caesar was not an emperor. He was a dictator. There's a difference. He was trying to become an emperor before he was slain around 44 BC. So those are the first 10 emperors, beginning with Augustus. The 11th horn that arises will be our friend Domitian. He is the 11th horn. He uproots 3. And then a description of Domitian is given in this chapter. He is arrogant, verses 8 and 20. He speaks great things. He is persecuting. He persecutes the saints, verses 21 and 25. He is blasphemous, verse 25. He speaks against the Most High. And he claims deity, verse 25. He seeks to change the law, the times and the law. All these things are true about our friend Domitian. It is said of Domitian, as you look at some of the historians, and you got to take it with a little grain of salt, too. Some of these historians are a little prejudiced at times. But it is said of Domitian that he was the bloody limb of Nero. Some of the superstitious brethren of that time thought that Domitian was Nero reincarnated. So here what we have in the picture. In Daniel chapter 7, we have 10 horns, and then an 11th horn,
He uproots three, which comes up making him the eighth.
Making him the eighth. He is of the fourth beast. The 11th horn is of the fourth beast. And all these things are true. He is the 11th that becomes the number 8. Now turn, if you will, to Revelation 17. We're still on point 3 of your study guide. Here John is talking about the beast. Upon this beast you have 7 heads. 5 are fallen. 1 is. 1 is not. And then we have 1. It is about to come. If you can't read that writing, we have 5 are fallen, 1 is not, and 1 is about to come. Let's pick it up in verse 8 of Revelation 17. The beast that you saw was and is not. Now, in other words, the beast was. During the time of Nero, we have the beast. He was persecuting the saints. But now he is not. There is no persecution of the saints at this time. The beast you saw was and is not, and is about to come up. So we have persecution about to appear again. He is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition, or some of your translations say destruction. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wander, they whose name has not been written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and shall come. Here is the mind that have wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Everybody in that day knows that he's talking about Rome. Rome set upon 7 hills. And, verse 10, and they are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, the other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue for a little while. And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth and is of the 7, and he goes into perdition. Now, the beast that was and is not, he himself is also of the 8. And what he's saying here is just simply this: if you look back into the 7, you can see him. Is everybody with me on this? In other words, the one that is to come up, that is the 8th, you look back into the first 7, and you can see this individual. And this is true of Domitian. It is with Domitian that the persecution of the church began again, and this persecution would last some 2.5 centuries. Sometimes it would be great persecution, sometimes the persecution would be mild. But the point is, it begins with Domitian, who is the 8th. Now, if you remember, I gave you a list of numbers in apocalyptic speech. Numbers sometimes mean numbers. But in figurative prophetic speech, apocalyptic speech, numbers mean much more than numbers. They go beyond the ordinary. They have meaning. Who remembers what the number 8 meant?
Smith.
a new beginning. The number 8 is the resurrection number. It is a number of the new beginning. Now,
I'm going to run across a problem with some. Where does it say that Domitian uprooted 3 individuals? It doesn't say.
As a matter of fact, he didn't. So do we have a historical conflict? Look at, point 4 in your study guide. Is everything in a vision supposed to be historically correct? Now, as I've pointed out before, especially when we studied Revelation, I pointed out that Daniel and Revelation go good together. Revelation will help you understand Daniel. Daniel will help you understand Revelation. These two books really should be studied together. The fourth beast is an undescribable beast. If you remember in chapter 13, the beast that came up out of the sea was of a leopard, a bear, and a lion. The beast in Daniel, undescribable beast, points from a lion, bear, a leopard, to the undescribable beast. Daniel looks forward to the time of Domitian. John is looking back from the time of Daniel that brings you to Domitian. That'll help you understand what these books are trying to tell us.
10 horns, 11th horn of fear appears, uproots 3, becomes number 8. John has 5 fallen, 1 is, 1 is not, and 1 is about to come, which makes Domitian the number 8.
Daniel uproots 3, John ignores 3. So, is there a conflict in history? Is there a conflict between John and Daniel? Turn, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 9. Familiar passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 9, beginning in verse 1. Then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause you them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the upper gate, which lies towards the north. Every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand, and 1 man in the midst of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Verse 4. And Jehovah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go you through the streets after him and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin and the little children and the women. But come not near any man upon whom the mark of the mark, and begin at my sanctuary, and they begin at the old men who were before the house, and that's enough.
According to the vision of Ezekiel, the writer, the scribe with the inkhorn in his hand, on his side, he puts a mark on all the righteous. Then the 6 men of slaughter come, and everybody who does not have the mark on their head, they slay. Right?
In the vision, how many of the righteous die? None. None die. Only the ungodly die in the vision. Now, if you will, turn to Ezekiel 21. Beginning in verse 1. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the sanctuary, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say unto the land of Israel, Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I am against you, and will draw forth my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. In the vision, the righteous do not die. But historically, the righteous die with the wicked. What is the vision of Ezekiel 9 telling us? No matter what the situation, whether you come through it alive or come through it dead, you are taken care of by Jehovah God. You may die in the faith, you may die for the faith, but you will be taken care of. God's people are always taken care of. Now, you and I can take great comfort in that. And the people during that time could take comfort in that. Historically, the righteous die with the ungodly. In the vision, though, they do not die. Sometimes in a vision, there are things put in or things pictured to keep the unity of the vision that brings you to the central thought. So not everything in a vision is to be historically correct. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture on this thought. Look at Isaiah chapter 13. I'm going to get here early and light a fire so this air conditioner will kick on a lot earlier, man. It's hot up here. All right, Isaiah 13, beginning in verse 1. The burden or the oracle of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Come on down to verse 6. So this is judgment against Babylon. Let's go down to verse 6. Wail you, the day of Jehovah is at hand, and destruction comes from the Almighty, shall it come. Now remember the day of Jehovah, or the day of the Lord, some of your translations will say. There are two elements of the day of the Lord. You have judgment upon the ungodly, and you have blessings upon the righteous. Those are the two elements of the day of Jehovah. So keep that in mind. Now we're talking about judgment upon the ungodly. Verse 7, therefore shall all hands be feeble, and every heart of man shall melt. And they shall be dismayed, and pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look in amazement one after another. Their faces shall be faces of flame. Behold, verse 9, behold, the day of Jehovah comes, cruel with wrath and in fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil. What world? Who is the judgment against? Babylon. So I will punish the world for their evil. Talking about the Babylonian world, not the whole world. It seems, by its description, the heavens and the sun and the moon and everything is being destroyed. Seems like the end of the world, but it's not the end of the world. It is pictured in terms that will show judgment upon the Babylonian world. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of Jehovah and of hosts, and in that day of his fierce anger. Verse 17. I will stir up the Medes against them, who shall not regard silver as for gold, and they shall not delight in it. Their bows shall dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Verse 19. And Babylon. So this tells you too. Verse 1 will tell you. Verse 19 will tell you this is speaking of judgment upon Babylon. In Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch their tent there, neither shall shepherds make their flocks to lie there. But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and the houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and ostriches shall dwell there, and wild goats shall dance there. And the wolves shall cry in their castles, and jackals in the pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. So here we have a description of judgment that is upon Babylon, described in sense that it's the end of the world. Now, my point, what we're trying to figure out here, was there historically judgment upon Babylon? Yes. Was it done by the Medes and the Persians? Yes. Was the land never inhabited again? Never happened. People live there today. So what is the picture telling us? It is telling us that God is going to judge Babylon. And if you remember, some of you have been in my class, and I repeat this time and time. The day of Jehovah, once the day of Jehovah rises against a nation, an ungodly people, or whoever, that nation never rises to its glory again. And Babylon never did. But it's described, and since it's at the end of the world, showing the people of God that no matter who this Babylon thinks they are not almighty. They are not the ones who are going to take care of everything. They are the ones who will fall by the sword of Jehovah God. And there's the picture. And we see that throughout history. Nations rise up, they become ungodly, God cuts them down. He always does. So the encouragement that you and I can get from passages of Scripture like this and others is just simply that no matter what the situation is in our lifetime, God is going to take care of his people. So that brings us back to this. Historically, Domitian never uprooted three. Never did. Domitian's reign began in 81 AD and it ended in 96 AD. But the point is to make him the eighth. Daniel uproots three to make Domitian number 8. John ignores 3 to make Domitian number 8, for it is in Domitian that the persecution of the saints arise again. Okay? Is that clear? Any questions on that? Now it's important to understand, because you will get with some religious people and they will, they will argue this point here in Daniel. They'll argue Revelation. But the point is, we make Domitian number 8 because under him became the new beginning of persecution against the brethren. The text will tell you, examine the picture. Look for what is being said. Look for little things in there that point you to what the passage wants you to say. And these things will work out all right with you. Don't worry about the three
that are either uprooted or the three that are ignored.
And I know for a fact the Revelation passage is a problem for some. It is a problem. I've got a couple of commentaries at home and some work done by another individual that will not see Domitian. He will see Domitian the eighth, but he will also see Domitian as number seven. And you just don't see that in the text. But there it is. That's the way some people argue it. Now,
so just keep in mind when you're studying the prophets, or when you see the figurative speech that we have in the New Testament,
not everything is supposed to be historically correct. Not everything is supposed to be taken literal, but it is in there to get you to see the point of the picture that the writer of the Bible is trying to see. Okay? All right. Which brings us to what point? Point number five. Okay, thank you. Number five. How are we to understand verses 21 and 22? All right, back in Daniel. Daniel 7, 21 and 22. I beheld, and the same horn, talking about the 11th, or the little horn, the 11th horn, made war with the saints, prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. All right. Now, as we get into this passage of Scripture, we need to see what's being said here. The saints received the kingdom. Now, everybody knows that Domitian was assassinated in 96 AD. And everybody knows that the church was established somewhere around 30 AD, somewhere around that time. What does it mean then, or how am I to understand this passage of Scripture, that the saints received the kingdom? If you'll look back in verses 9 of Daniel chapter 7, this was after the fourth beast was described, and then he sees a judgment scene. I beheld till thrones were placed, and one as the Ancient of Days did sit, and his raiment was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was a fiery, was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning. So here we have a judgment scene. The beast is alive and persecuting God's people until we see God arrive upon a chariot throne, a fiery chariot throne. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands upon thousands ministered unto him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Notice, the judgment was set, books were opened. So we have a judgment scene. Judgment, books, thrones, fire. And I beheld at that time, verse 11, because of the voice of the great words which the little horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and was it given to be burned with fire. Now I read you that passage of Scripture to bring you back here to 21. That it says, and I beheld at the same time, the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed until, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and the saints possessed the kingdom. Church was established around 30 AD. Judgment upon the little horn was when? Somebody say 96 A.D., please.
96.
Thank you. 96 A.D. Some 66 years after the church is established on the day of Pentecost. What is being said here is just simply this. Remember, we have a judgment scene. And it's at the time of the little horn. Two groups of people came before the throne of God. They said, the kingdom is ours. One is named Rome. The other one is named the saints. Judgment is upon the nation of Rome, and the saints receive the kingdom. In other words, God declares that the killing of Domitian, and the people of God knew at the killing of Domitian that God was truly upon the throne. If you remember in Revelation chapter 4, the vision begins in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and I beheld a great throne in heaven. Rome was saying that we rule the world. But John is making it very clear to the saints that the throne that rules the world is in heaven. And that's why we have this judgment scene. God came in judgment upon Domitian, and the saints understood that the kingdom was there. Turn your will to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 deals with 70 AD. We have the woman and the mites. Then they say, look at this great temple. And Jesus says, time is coming when not one stone. He says, as for these things, verse 6, you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and they all shall be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, teacher, when therefore shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of these things that are to come to pass? And then he goes on to describe these things. Verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then you shall know that her desolation is at hand. Then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them that are in the midst of her depart out. Let not them that are in the country enter therein. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress upon the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive in all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in sun and moon and stars upon the earth, distress of nations in perplexity for the roaring of seas and the billows, men fainting for fear and for expectation of all these things which coming on the world. For the powers of heaven are shaken. 27. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is nigh. And he spake unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see it and know that your own selves that the summer is now nigh. Even so also, when you see these things come to pass, know you that, notice, the kingdom of God is nigh. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be accomplished. Clearly talking about 70 AD. Clearly talking in terms that seems like the end of the world. And yet, if you notice, he says, this generation. Not that generation. Not a generation to come. But this generation shall not pass until all these things come up. Judgment upon the nation of Judea, upon the city of Jerusalem. Two people come before the throne of God. One is named Jerusalem. The other is named the church. Verdict for the church. Jesus comes on a cloud. When you see this phrase, on a cloud, in apocalyptic speech, it always means the coming of judgment of God. Okay? The saints receive the kingdom. So basically, That is what's being said there. You need to understand the biblical language. And that's why I kind of harp on it probably a little bit more than what I should. We need to understand the biblical language if we're going to reach to those who are in other religious bodies. If we are going to be able to stand and defend our position against the dispensationalists, because they will work your case on this. But once you understand, passages like Luke 21, Matthew 24 is easy to come across, and they don't have nothing, not a thing to hold on to. The kingdom is given to saints. Earth says the kingdom is ours. God says, no, the kingdom belongs to the saints. Read Daniel chapter 8 for next week. God bless you.